Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. The title of my message today is Writing People Off. Writing People Off. Look, if you will, in Galatians chapter 5, and we'll begin looking in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you are led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Let us pray. My message this morning is writing people off. Writing people off. And I want to look at just one word, and that is the word found in verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, and the word hatred. The word hatred. Let's sort of look this morning at a definition of the flesh. Notice he says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. We talked last Sunday night about being in the flesh. The Bible says in Romans 8 that we are Christians are not in the flesh, because he says those who are in the flesh do not have the Spirit of Christ, who do not have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Those who are not saved are in the flesh. That is, all they have to live is their fallen humanity, which is sinful. But you and I as Christians are not in the flesh, but we have still the flesh when we're saved. Because otherwise, he would not tell us in verse 16 to walk in the Spirit. And the only person who has the Spirit is one who is saved, and thus you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. But the flesh does not dominate our life. And what is the flesh? It is simply my humanity, my fallen humanity. I live in this body. The body is not the flesh, but the flesh inhabits this body. It affects my thinking. It affects my actions. It affects my attitudes. The flesh is part of my fallen humanity. When we were saved, the Holy Spirit came to live in us. And the Holy Spirit now lives in us and has effected a change in us. We are different people. But we still live in this fallen flesh. We still live in this fallen body. And it will not be until we get to heaven, when we shed off this fallen body, that we will enjoy the presence of God and no longer struggle with the flesh. But because the Spirit of God is living in me and I'm still living in this body, I must learn to walk in the Spirit so that I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Because he says in verse 17, the flesh is trying to stop and the Spirit is trying to war against the flesh. And so you have these two within Christians. Christians are not perfect people. We are people that still live in this fallen humanity, and this fallen humanity can rear its ugly head, and we can act in the flesh. Not forever, but he warns us that we should walk in the Spirit of God. The only way a Christian can be what God wants them to be is to live their life in the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And he says in verse 24, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. We are to put it to death and allow the Spirit of God to live in us. And all of us have this flesh. Unless you are a spirit floating around You all look to me to have a body. And so you all are living in this fallen humanity, though if you're saved, the Spirit of God is living in you. And you must allow the Spirit of God to produce that which the Spirit of God wants to produce. Notice what he says in verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which means patience, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And fruit implies a relationship in which the Spirit of God is producing in us Christ-like character. And so that's what God wants to do. God wants to fill us with His Spirit so that the Spirit of God controls our life and the Spirit of God lives through us and produces Christ-like character. Now, I say this. Wouldn't it be nice if every church and every home and every place with all the people gathered together and all the things that go on, if our lives were all characterized by love and joy and peace and long-suffering and all these characteristics, wouldn't it be just a nice world to live in? Well, we're not going to be perfectly like that, but we're to allow the Spirit of God to live in us. Then I want to look at, there is the contrast between the flesh, but the Spirit of God we must learn to depend on. Then I want to look at a definition of this sin called hatred. Notice in verse 20. Or he says in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. That word means obvious. It means obvious. If I walk upon a tiger or dog and they growl at me, it's pretty obvious that's a dog. And that's sort of their nature. Well, the flesh acts a certain way. And it means that the works of the flesh are obvious. They manifest themselves. It is an obvious way the flesh acts. And so he says, the works of the flesh are these, idolatry, and verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, and then he says the little word, hatred. Hatred. Now the word hatred miscommunicates the meaning of that word. Because most of us would probably sit here and say, oh, I don't hate anybody. And hatred just sounds like a very strong word. This word is used in the New Testament 6 times. And only in this place is it translated hatred. All other places it is translated enmity. Enmity. And so the word just doesn't mean to have hatred. The word means to have an enmity. Strong's Concordance says that the root of the word comes from that which means to be hostile. And in Strong's it says by there is a reason for the hostility or the enmity. In other words, the idea of the word is not just to hate someone, but it is to have a hostility or an enmity against someone because something has happened. There's a reason for this breakdown. It's interesting, the word is used of Pilate and Herod. And the Bible says they were at enmity in Luke 23. They were at enmity one another. But then they became friends. And the idea of the word is simply this. They were political enemies. There was a reason for the breakdown between those two. They were competing in their political positions. And Herod did something that pleased Pilate, and so everything worked out all right. And so the enmity was removed, that which broke them down, and now they became friends. So the idea of the word is not just to hate someone, but to have enmity towards a person or something because of what they've done to me. That's the definition of the word. So when he says idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, or enmity, that is one of the works of the flesh. That's one of the manifestations of the flesh. I have defined it in a little study we did. It's called hard feelings with other people or situations because of what they've done to me. There is a reason for this enmity, this hatred, this enmity that we have with another person. That's one of the reflections of the flesh. And notice one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. One of the characteristics of love is not based on emotions, but love is based on the fact that I will always act for your good no matter how you treat me. God always loves us and acts for our good no matter how we treat Him. God's love is not based on us, but it's based on His character. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. We simply love people because that's what we're to do. And no matter what they do, we act in their benefit. And so the word hatred here has to mean enmity, hard feelings with someone. Now, why did I title my sermon, Writing People Off? I want to give you a couple illustrations. I believe you and I need to define in our own hearts how often this attitude crops up in our lives. We live in a fallen world. I don't know if you've noticed this, but everybody in this world's not nice. Now, I don't know, you might not have noticed that, but everybody in the world is not nice. And even when we're nice, we still fall short. We still say something when our brain's not engaged. We still do things in life. And so in life, you and I are always interacting with people. That's part of life. And the interacting with those people, somebody, somewhere, someplace is going to say something. They're going to do something. They're going to not do something that's going to hurt your feelings, offend you, make you mad, or whatever it may be. And the problem is you may allow this characteristic of the flesh to pop up and have enmity towards another person. I like for you to think about the attitude that's in the heart. Now, a Christian, it is an impossibility for a Christian to just simply have this full blown. Because notice what he says in verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do, and the word do means practice, such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. The world, unsaved people, are characterized by the fact they're mad at somebody. They have enmity with somebody. They may not think of it as hatred, but they have some hard feelings between them and somebody else. That's their lifestyle. That's the way it is. You've heard of people and families because of something happened when someone passed away and the will didn't work out right or somebody got the money. And now you hear the story that brother or sister or brother and brother are not even speaking to one another and haven't spoken for years. That's the sin of enmity and hatred because something has happened. Something has happened that's caused it. But you and I as Christians need to be aware to not let it pop up. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration from my own life. Oh, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I won't tell you the place because I wouldn't want to demean them. They didn't do nothing to me, but I don't want to demean them. I went into this place of business in Thomasville. And I've done business with them and I won't tell you what it was about. But I was in there asking them a question. And the lady said something to me that hurt my feelings. Now, she didn't mean a thing by it. Didn't mean a thing by it. And she just sort of popped off and said something. I know you'd like to know what that is, but I'm not going to tell you. And so I left there, and I was a little aggravated. I came home and told Deanne, you never get no support from your wife, let me tell you this. When you want to sin, they won't let you. So I told her what the lady said. And she said, well, it's the truth, isn't it? It actually was. What the lady said was true. And I said, well, what do you say then? I said, well, it was the way she said it. She was smart alecky about it. And that's probably why I offended, because what she said was kind of the truth. Well, that was no big deal. It didn't go on that much. I didn't think any more about it. until I needed to go to business to take care of something. You know what cropped up in my heart? I don't believe hatred cropped up, but a little bit, just a tad of enmity cropped up. And I thought to myself, you know, there are other businesses I could go to. Matter of fact, I had to struggle a little bit in my heart. I think I'm going to go to this other business. They're not going to get my business no more. And I prayed about it. And finally, I said, this is so silly. This is so silly. You preach, and this is so silly. So I went to the business with a whole different attitude. Didn't think a thing anymore about it. It's all over with what she said. No big deal. And you know, God was so gracious and so good, and everything worked out all right. And I just simply say this for a reason. That you may not have this full-blown enmity in your heart, but it can crop up. It can crop up. Well, somebody said something, and we have nothing to do with them anymore. In other words, you're writing people off. You simply say, I don't hate them. I'm not against them or anything, but, you know, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. Me, just like me, I ain't going back to that place of business. You know, there are people out there that have written you off, written me off. There's something we did or we didn't do or something we said or something was not right. And I can think of probably at least one person that I know has written me off. No, not a big deal. Don't say a whole lot. But I know it's something I didn't do at the right time in the right place. Just wrote me off. How many people have you written off? How many people in your lives have you allowed that attitude of enmity to crop up because of something that happened and you write them off? Oh, what preacher, I don't hate them. Remember, the word doesn't mean hatred as we think of it. It just means to have hard feelings because of something that has happened. And when you study the Bible, you will discover that this word manifests itself a lot. In the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 3, the Bible says, when it describes the sinfulness of humanity, and it lists the things about the sinfulness of humanity, and one of the things it says, out of their mouth comes cursings and bitterness. Well, the word cursings there does not mean to use profanity. The word cursings there means to bring out a complaint, to bring out something that they're mad about. And so it says one of the things that characterizes sinful humanity is out of the mouth comes cursings and bitterness. Let me ask you a question. How can you tell if this still reigns in your heart, something that happened? The first thing you can ask yourself is, do you still talk about it? Do you still talk about it? If this person's name comes up or this situation comes up, does something come out of your heart that, oh yes, I don't mind telling people what they did to me? Now, I'm not talking about among Christians and among sharing our burdens. I'm not talking about that. You and I have to share burdens sometimes. You and I have to unburden things to one another. That's okay. But I'm talking about out there among the world when it's nobody else's business. If something comes up, does it come out of our mouth? Well, let me tell you, and I'm not going to have nothing more to do with that person. I hear it all the time. You know, Christians, we can look good. We can go to church. We can say all the right things. We can be nice. But the truth is, if you probe around in churches, you probe around in homes, you will find this sin of enmity in people's hearts. They've written someone off because of something that person did or something that person did not do. Let me ask you a question. Do you talk about it? James 4 says, when we complain against our brother, we are no longer a doer of the law, but we have become a judge of the law. And the Bible says there's only one lawgiver and there's only one judge. That is, when I complain against you, When I say, you know what this place of business did to me? I am not going back. What I am doing is I'm putting that out there and I'm complaining against someone, and I have set myself up as the judge of God's law as to whether I'm going to apply it or not, and I've set myself up as the judge to tell them that person has done the thing that's wrong. I've not done anything wrong, and there's only one law and only one judge. Only one lawgiver. This attitude in the heart can destroy. It destroys churches. It destroys families. It destroys towns. This is the works of the flesh, to have enmity. They say, preacher, you don't know what someone's done to me. No, I don't. No, I don't. But I can tell you this. I've had things done or said to me that hurt my feelings. And I understand that because we're human, it's not easy. It's not easy. But if we recognize what it is, it's the flesh. This is not the Spirit of God. We have to learn to somehow give it to God and let it go and say, Lord, here you are. It's interesting. 1 Peter 4 says that if we suffer, and he's talking about suffering persecution, but if we do suffer persecution according to the will of God, then we ought to entrust ourselves to a faithful Creator who will always do what is right, who will always minister to us, who will always take care of us because He made us. He knows what we are. He knows what we can take, what we cannot take. He knows what everything about us. He is a faithful Creator. And we're to trust our souls to Him as one who will always do what is right. And sometimes you just have to say, Lord, here it is. I give it to you and let it go. Don't write people off. Don't write people off. Don't write them off and say, that's it. Now, you know, that doesn't mean that if someone's planning to shoot you, you have to go by and knock on the door and say, here, shoot me. There's something serious. But, you know, if the opportunity comes, you know what would have happened to me if I'd have went to this other business? You'd have never known, because I wasn't going to say nothing. You wouldn't know if I hadn't blabbed this morning anyway. But you know what would happen to me? I would have known in my heart what I was doing. I knew it. And I'd have felt guilty. And I might have walked around a little grumpy. I might have walked around a little attitude. And you might go, what's wrong with the preacher? And little would you know, I was convicted of something in my heart and I didn't yield to it. You see, if you know it's wrong, you're going to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit convicting you, and you got to let it go. The Bible says the works of the flesh, verse 20, idolatry, witchcraft, and hatred, this enmity. I could take you to Strong's. I could take you to all the uses of the word, and that's what it means. It means to have some hard feelings because of what someone has done, said, or a situation or a circumstance. And it doesn't have to be something where you express it in full hatred, but it can be in your heart. Is there some person that if their name comes up, your heart would beat a little faster? Your emotion might get a little stronger? Is there some circumstance that comes up and your heart would be a little faster, out will say something? Has that attitude of envy been down in the heart? Someone was telling me recently, or situations that they don't have nothing to do with the person anymore because they remember something happened years and years and years ago. That's sad. It's really sad. You and I got to conquer it. We cannot allow the flesh. He says to walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And let me tell you something. We're all human. I'm just as human as you are. And sometimes people might willfully harm us. They might willfully hurt us. And those are situations you just have to say, what are you going to do about it? You know, what are you going to do about it? You're going to have to leave that to the Lord. Sometimes people say things they don't mean. But because we may be struggling in our heart, may take it more personally, or may take it more to ourselves when the person goes on and they didn't mean anything by it. Sometimes our mouths just say things that don't mean anything. And we cannot allow that hard attitude of enmity to rear its ugly head. Because the Bible warns us. It warns us. Those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. See, church is not, you know, being a Christian is not just going to church, though it is going to church and praying and reading your Bible, but it's having an attitude that isn't carnal. In the book of Corinthians, they were fussing and fighting and carrying on, couldn't get along with one another because they were carnal. You know, I get upset with someone. You know what really it says? It says more about me than it does the person. It says more about me. And it must be conquered by God's amazing grace. Sometimes if you might need to just tell someone, get it off your chest. You don't have to go out and tell everybody. That's okay. The Bible says bear one another's burdens. There's nothing wrong with telling someone about something that's happened that causes you a struggle and ask them to pray for you and by God's grace. And there's nothing wrong with those things. But the recognition of recognizing it and saying, Lord, give me grace. Help me. Help me to conquer this where it's done away with. It's all over with. What replaces my life is love. What replaces my life is peace and long-suffering and patience. Is there somebody, is there something in life that's caused you to have enmity? Whether you realize it or not, it's boiling down there. It's boiling down there. And it's going to come out somewhere. And God wants to replace it with the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. The Bible says we're to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Maybe sometimes you might need to tell someone, you hurt my feelings. Maybe they didn't know. Maybe you just might need to just leave it with the Lord and move on. I don't know. But you and I must learn to conquer this attitude of enmity that gets in our heart. Let's pray. Father, we love you today and we thank you for your precious and wonderful word. And Lord, help us all to realize we're all human. We've not arrived. And we all may at times struggle. But Lord, help us as Christians to realize it. And may by your grace, help us, Lord. Help us to conquer it. We're all on the same ship. There's nobody up high that says, look what terrible things you do. No, Lord, we're all on the same ship. We all need the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. The only way we are loving and forgiving is by your power and by your grace. And so, Lord, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.